Good day and welcome to another Tech Central TCS Plus podcast. My name is Jadev Chiba and I'll be leading the discussion today on the topic of Managed Security Service Provider or MSSP with executives from CyberOne Solutions South Africa. CyberOne is an innovative, agile, end-to-end solutions provider that supports their customers at every step along their security transformations. So joining me in the studio today is Jason O'Reilly, Managing Director of CyberOne Solutions South Africa, and Akhil, who heads up the Managed Services Division at CyberOne. So welcome, gentlemen. Good to have you in the studio today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jadev.
The topic we wanted to talk about is really about looking at the benefits of an MSSP and what value that brings to the marketplace. So I think to kick off, I'd like to start off with the basics of, you know, what is an MSSP, so that at least we understand what is the topic we're talking about and how is that different from some of the other approaches. So either of you can answer that question.
Yeah, I'm happy.
So I think traditionally we used to some of the terms, being interchanged, like third party, outsourcing MSP and now MSSP. And I think it was around 2010, IT outsourcing was major. It was a big thing. And ultimately with MSSP being Managed Security Service Provider, we're kind of in the same space, but with a more specific focus on security services.
Okay.
Currently customers or businesses would have two options of trying to tackle their information security goals, right? One is looking at building your own in-house team, or the other option of being an MSSP. And we'll touch up some of the benefits of the MSSP later on.
So essentially it's either you're providing the service to the organization or they build it themselves, or a combination thereof.
That's correct. Right. In a nutshell, yeah.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Thanks for that. So what are the buzzwords right now in the security space that you're hearing, and which way are they leaning?
So I think amongst our customers, I think new and hopefully... Okay, so existing and hopefully some new customers. It's a case of cloud security or cloud in general, application security, API security, and I believe AI is probably the biggest term at this moment in time.
What would a session be without AI, right?
No, absolutely. So, I'm sure they use AI in the editing of this podcast.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When we consider which way they're leaning, I think if we look at cloud and application security, a lot of it is seen in a positive light. A lot of customers are seeing us going on this journey into cloud. And for a number of reasons, I think primarily they're seeking a higher uptime, less maintenance, less sort of onus on maintenance, maintaining those platforms, which often results in some of the downtime that you see here and there. I think with application security, it's about simplifying that connectivity, having greater presence around the globe and not, hosting things in your own private data center where there's a single point of failure. So a lot of resilience built into the hyperscalers or the cloud solutions. I think with AI, depending on the intention of the use of AI, it can be either seen as very negative or very positive. I'd like to think it's more positive because we are seeing the vendors build into that space as well. But of course, the same power that's available, to the teams that are doing, or the blue teams, is also available to the guys that are looking to perform any type of malicious activity.
Jason, you want to add to that?
Yeah, Jadev, I think one of the key things that we're seeing, I think the market in general, if we have a look at how the hyperscalers have changed the way the market consumes, that has... Again, the maturity of the MSSP market was around bums on seats. When you and I were working together, we had teams of 20 or 30 people from service providers in our environments doing what we need to do. COVID really changed that. So one of the key things that we've seen is the hyperscalers have changed the market. A lot of the vendors are leading the market with crazy buzzwords. So like zero trust.
Mm-hmm.
The AI thing is a big thing. I was pulled into a recent board meeting with an organization, and we were talking about AI. I think in cyber, we're very fortunate because we can use closed model AI because we know what we're looking for. There are only certain ways you can attack a network and exfiltrate. So I think we're in a safe space on how we use AI in a closed environment. But, you know, it's still the age old. It's the zero trust. We responded to an RFP from, you know, one of our utilities the other day. And, you know, again, we always look at the market and the market says, well, I'm looking for an identity and access management solution, or I'm looking for an IPS solution. But now it's not, hold on, now I'm looking for it. AI IPS, or I'm looking for an AI identity and access. And the craziest thing is some of these things don't yet exist.
Mm-hmm.
The market is still evolving. And I think when we look at, especially from an MSSP perspective, it's about how can we augment? I mean, we're, you know, primarily at this point in time, 80% of our business is done in the financial sector and the government sector,
mm-hmm.
large, complex environments. This is the challenge we're seeing at the moment is the adoption of cloud. People are starting to backtrack now. You know, everybody was cloud first at one stage. So that buzzword is still around there, right?
Yes,
and
yes.
Believe it or not, there are even individuals in organizations that are seen as Mr. Cloud,
yes.
You know, and we appreciate that. The challenge is, and you know this, when you start looking at your legacy systems, you start looking at the integration points, you start looking at mainframe, which is still huge. People are not considering that. They're following the buzzwords like we're talking because the vendors are leading that conversation. Our challenge is how do we augment a customer's environment? How do we bring in the specialist skills? How do we retain those specialist skills to be able to make sure that a customer can achieve what the CIO, CFOs, and CEOs are expecting IT to do and not just being a cost center, right?
100%. Yeah, you know, just talking about the notion of people going to cloud or people coming back, I saw a research paper, a survey done recently, which says 42%. Of companies surveyed are now deciding to go back to on-prem solution. So I think, you know, it's not a silver bullet, but the reality is you're going to have a hybrid situation wherever you go.
Yes.
And one needs to think about that.
Well, and I think also when you start considering the cybersecurity in that, your solutions can't be one or the other.
100%.
They have to be hybrid.
Yes.
And the funniest thing is in most of the environments today, you have one or you have other.
Yes.
And our vendors have yet to connect that hybrid scale model yet. And that's an interesting thing, conversation that we're having, right?
I mean, the other dimension you spoke about was AI. And I think we're in that novelty phase still.
Yeah.
You know, we're still trying to figure out what really works. And obviously, we're seeing all these LLMs being released on a weekly, monthly basis.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of hype and a lot of jargon. But in the end, it's about how do you secure the business today?
It's speeds, it's efficiency, it's operational excellence. It's all those things that you know as a CIO, that's what you expect your business to deliver.
Yes.
I think what we're seeing in our world and where AI is really, truly helping us is one, we can make smarter investments in people so that we have the right people looking. I mean, I appreciate that. You know, there was that meme at one point in time on LinkedIn where it would take a hacker 20 minutes to learn how to get some code, or even worse now with GPT, right? And there's even hack GPT and stuff. And, you know, it takes them 20 minutes to build a piece of code. It's a zero-day attack. And it takes a CISO 25 years to get all the skills he needs to be able to defend the organization. And I think, you know, the mantra that we have as a team is we have to be innovating. The challenge is our customers are skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing is, I mean, we've been talking about AI technologies for the last 6 years, and the adoption has been reasonably good now. What is really starting to change is there's more choice. Whereas before, 6 years ago, there was maybe one or two vendors that were doing it really, really well. Those vendors are now struggling because cost is reducing.
Mm-hmm.
You can now augment and do things better. You can integrate in an open architecture. Because a lot of these, and again, no disrespect intended to the vendors, a lot of the vendors want you to invest in them. You know, you've got to be all of me. And correct. I have yet to walk into a customer that says, I am all of this.
Well, I don't think there's a single vendor who can provide the end-to-end solutions that are required today. It's just not possible.
We know that.
So you have to kind of keep an open mind.
Yes.
I think with all that we've mentioned now, and there's a lot of new technologies that are floating around, how are businesses looking to both safeguard and benefit from these to achieve their own goals from an information security point of view?
So from what I'm seeing, right, so in the cloud space, in as much as businesses are benefiting from some of the simplicity with regards to less maintenance, etc., as I mentioned earlier, the safeguarding portion comes in that you still have to realize that as the system owner, the onus is on you to protect those workflows, to protect that data.
Mm.
Right, so there's sometimes a misconception that if it's in the cloud, it's safe. Right?
Yeah, we're still talking about that shared responsibility model, right?
Correct, correct. But I mean, primarily what you're getting from the cloud provider is either infrastructure as a service or platform as a service, right? Yes, there are native tools, but that doesn't guarantee any security, right? You're still responsible for manning that.
Correct, yes.
And you can go out and then get a managed service for that. But you need to look at it from a security perspective, because cloud on its own is essentially similar to what we had on-prem. It's just now got better availability, you know, better resources, faster turnaround times. But the same security you needed to apply on-prem, you're still needing to apply in the cloud space. And, you know, I think with AI, in as much as it's positive, and a lot of companies are now looking at building their own internal AI platforms to benefit them, there's still the publicly available ones, right? And the safeguarding that needs to come into place there. What we're often seeing is, and okay, this might be seen as a harder stance, but, you know, restricting access to these things altogether. I think a bit of a better approach, and we've seen some cool technologies that can assist with this, is limiting that input into the AI, right? Because the last thing you need is an employee copy-pasting information. It's got all your company details, putting it into that AI, which gives it all of the context. Mm. And it's giving you great answers, right? But that data that you're inputting into that publicly available AI platform is being processed somewhere that you have no control over,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's learning from that. So somewhere along the line, if you keep feeding the AI your personal company information and it ingests that, some point is going to be able to put that information out there as well.
Yeah, we talk about, I mean, we're hearing a lot at the moment about data sovereignty. Obviously, Poppy is, you know, gaining a little bit of momentum, and we know that. But data sovereignty is a big one because, again, you know, most people believe that, you know, I'm using Microsoft Copilot and I'm safe. But the reality is your information is already in the US. It's already in Europe. And that's just a startling reality. So believe it or not, we spend a lot of our time still educating. But I think, you know, coming back to what Akhil's saying, the complexity, you know, customers, you know, we know how to safeguard an environment. And I say we know because we have the skills, the expertise, we have the frameworks, we have the regulations. The challenge that we have is that the business is already gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you start looking at, you know, where does the MSSP fit into that? You need to understand what you need to get from an MSP.
Yeah,
I think one of the things that we've seen in our journey is that where customers are either kicking MSSP out or large outsourcing arrangements, it's because they themselves were hoping the experts were going to help them. And I think where we're spending a lot of our time in strategic engagements with customers is building out those measurements. What are you trying to measure?
Yeah.
You know, what are you trying to manage? You know this. I mean, from your CISO's perspective, you know, they're trying to figure out, you know, how do we measure cyber awareness in our program? You know, I don't know if you're remembering Spectre Byte in your space, right?
Correct, yes.
How do we make it relatable? 9 years, 10 years later, we're still trying to get the user stopping to click. So, but how do you measure that effectively? And I think that's where you start to look at the expertise around you or in your community to say, A, if I can't measure it and I can't manage it, how do we provide the board? And I think it's great that cyber is at the board table now.
Yes.
The challenge is we're now under pressure.
Correct.
Because we've been there since COVID. We're not showing any better results. And the reality is I've augmented with all kinds of different outsourcing arrangements, but I still am hoping for the expert to tell me what to do. And we see that happening a lot.
So I think it's a good segue to the next point I wanted to raise. So, you know, why would a security manager or a CISO look to outsourcing their security needs? I think you've covered some of those points, but maybe just elaborate on that.
Yeah, listen, and you know, we see, and no disrespect intended to our CISO community and our cybersecurity community, I've always said that if you want to take up the information manager, CISO, cybersecurity manager role, you've got to know that there's a target on your back straight away, because we all know that there's no silver bullet for this conversation. Mm-hmm. Where we see CISOs really being successful, one, politicians. They can navigate the executive boardroom better than anybody else. You mentioned that earlier on. Two, people that are sound and have the technical background, and they have their conversation with the organization saying, listen, if you want governance, risk, compliance, and paperwork, I'm not your guy. If you want me to protect the organization, then I'm your guy. So again, it's maturity of individual, it's skills, and also you've got to know what you want. I think the challenge is because nobody knows your business better than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bringing, I think that, you know, we'll talk about this just now, is there is a lack of skilled cybersecurity companies that are verified and certified out there. So, you know, when you do engage, we engage with the big names because surely they should know. The challenge is they haven't been verified, they haven't been validated. You know, and where they don't hold those certifications, you know, third-party risk is a huge challenge. How do we then start bringing that into the conversation and saying, if we're going to be advising, you know, it's got to be the ability to say, you understand my environment, we understand the complexities, how are you going to help me augment? Because I've already invested. And I think the challenge we see in our space, it's either all or nothing.
Yeah.
What we're trying to change the conversation to is, let's understand your business. Let's see where you are. Let's understand the maturity of your organization, because it doesn't help that we come in with these solutions that are really great and, you know, reasonably complex to manage and deploy, yet you yourself don't understand, what am I actually managing? What am I actually measuring? Because again, you know, you may hold the certification, but you may not have the practical experience of deployment. And that's what we see a lot.
Now, I just want to throw in the context of the OEM here, because the OEM are the ones that are providing the solution. So why wouldn't I just go and use them to do the services for me?
So I think off the bat, costs for one. I think a lot of the OEMs, you know, we find their products are priced in either dollars or pounds or euros and the like. So naturally, when they need to offer services, it comes with those same denominations. And, you know, I think they have a focus on ensuring they stay up to date in the general security landscape. So making sure that they come up with new tech, they can address new problems, that they're keeping their existing tech safe with the likes of patches, etc. So I don't believe it to be in their best interest to provide a day-to-day service. You know, I think further than that, for a business to look at an OEM that's manufacturing a specific product and actually consider them to look after their security estate that, you know, would obviously be made up of multiple different technologies and vendors.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. You know, why would they not have their own interests at heart first?
So it's almost, you know, an OEM would treat a vertical rather than you trying to address a problem on an end-to-end basis.
And Jade, if you know, there's that conversation, you know, the good enough conversation that we have. Many organizations, and this is still from, you know, the McAfee days when we were engaging you and I, is we would sell the best of suite. And we get that.
Yes.
Right? The challenge is our customers would deploy 40 to 60% of that suite. And then by the time we come to the table, you know, 2 years or 3 years into our agreement, customers are going, well, I didn't deploy 40% of that technology base. Also, the market has moved in 3 years. Our risks have changed in 3 years. You haven't integrated quick enough. So one of the things that we're seeing with the larger OEMs, there are a couple doing it reasonably successfully. Again, working with a couple of CISOs that you and I know, they travel overseas, and you know, we were having a conversation about going to like RSA. And the one CISO said to me, you know, I don't go to the Ciscos anymore. I don't go to the Palo Altos or the Huawei's or the Fortinets anymore. I don't. I know what they do because they tell you. what I do is I go to that little corner around the corner where there are the niche providers thinking about the problem differently that effectively still place me in the area of importance versus me just being another number to their business. So it's very interesting. And also, I must admit, you know, I've been with CyberOne Solutions now for just over 2 years, coming back into the space, and the behavior that we're seeing in the tier one OEMs, it's ruthless. They're holding customers to ransom. They're forcing them effectively to, it's crazy. I mean, I've been involved in conversations which have been the most uncomfortable in my life. And that's because OEMs want the order at the end of the quarter. So when you start looking at a managed services program, you start understanding that if we're moving the way the hyperscalers are working, one, you can consume it when you need to and when you know you have to. You can work with an organization that has that level of agility to be able to answer it. And when we come to the table, it's not just with technology. It provides good enough technology because we spend a lot of our time researching, but it also provides the augmented skill to either support my team or effectively run the program for me. At the same time, you know, we try not to be everything to everybody. We've built up an ecosystem around us of SMMEs, but also specialists in their space. So like, for example, governance, risk, and compliance. You know, everybody sends out, and we see this quite regularly, you send out an RFP and it's like, I want somebody to check my own homework, run the program. And you're going, whoa. You know, the foundations of cybersecurity is putting up those walls of validate, verify. That seems to be out of I'm happy to check my own homework because I'm okay. So, you know, again, as a business, we've sort of said, listen, we understand our swim lane. We know what we have the ability to do. We're doing quite a bit of consulting. We're not even selling technologies. Quite a bit of consulting before we get to the looking at the control, or we've augmented. I mean, we've taken the Microsoft journey like with anybody else, but we're not selling licenses. Many of our customers have got the E3, E5 licenses, and they are underutilized. They're getting penalties because they're not meeting their commits. So, you know, we've had to say, well, listen, we're actually cybersecurity professionals. I'm not just the, you know, one single OEM partner. I can't afford to be, because that is a rat race.
Yeah.
And it's a rat race to the bottom. It's not a rat race to the top.
The fact that things are moving so rapidly in the marketplace, and I think I've never seen technology move this fast ever in my life. So, and it's just getting a whole lot faster. How do you as an MSSP keep up and make sure you can deliver?
So I think, you know, with the broad footprint that we have, you know, with the access to multiple businesses, we pick up on trends very early on, right? And the moment we start to see something gain momentum, you know, we realize, okay, cool, this is up and coming. We need to start establishing ourselves to be able to service, first of all, understand what it does, and then be able to service it. You know, we have a really good relationship with our vendors. And obviously, they're looking out for these things as well because they need to develop the technologies that can safeguard against these new threats. And because we have such great relationships, you know, we abide by the training programs. And often when new technology is coming up, we have sessions with them to understand what is coming out, what we need to be able to understand the technology, to service the technology, you know, be it certification, you know, virtual classrooms, online training, etc. So we utilize a lot of that in our favor. I think along with the broad experience that we gather all around, we try and ensure that some customers that are heading on the journey a little bit later on, we then build that knowledge set for ourselves and they can benefit from that. So even if you're not the first, because the first is obviously the risk usually, right? If you want to be at the bleeding edge, you got to take some risk.
Mm-hmm.
So we also learn from that so that going forward, you know, anyone that does take this journey has our experience behind it to ensure that that's a success.
And then I think also just follow the money. You know, one of the key things that we see, I mean, you know, we know that the hacking community and the underground community is now $10 trillion, you know, commercialized model. You know, follow the money, follow the techniques. You know, like I said to you earlier on, we know, and we know this as professionals in what we do, there are only certain ways you can exfiltrate data, break into organizations. I mean, one of our resources has got on his little signature, he says, they're not breaking in anymore, they're logging in. Mm-hmm. you know. So, you know, help organizations understand. But I also think there are a couple of key things that we try to keep ourselves. We do want to stay ahead of what we see the curve being, right? We do follow the hype cycle. So we definitely, you know, one of the things that we've had to learn as a business to be relevant is we know customers are buying certain things. So we'll sell them certain things, right? And we'll provide a managed service with certain things. It's not necessarily the thing that's going to protect them the best. But we understand that there is compliance and we will help them do that. But in doing that as well, we also sit down with them and say, okay, how are you thinking about what the attackers are thinking about next? You know, what tools, what things are you thinking about? You know, an interesting conversation right now is the SOC conversation. You know, what people aren't aware of is there's almost 30 SOCs in Gauteng alone, right?
Wow.
Of which they're probably underlying about 14 actual service providers because people have built SOCs through relationships abroad or they've built their own internal security operation centers again. Why are people deploying SOCs? Most of the time from an assurance perspective because they don't have the skills, they don't have the people. And there's a couple of approaches we're saying is that, you know, if you look at the foundations of cybersecurity, it's built on visibility. I'm still amazed today knowing Cisco and 3Com of late and all those other, that organizations don't have an idea of what's connecting to their network. They don't have visibility of that. They're not sure what applications their users are using. They're not sure of the shadow IT. In some organizations, you're not allowed to say that word anymore because they don't want to actually find it. That head, you know, that ostrich head in the ground is still adopted. And, you know, if we start with the foundations of visibility, understand what's connecting to our network. I mean, MDM is still a conversation. I mean, this is 10 years ago, JDev.
Yeah, it is.
You know, so, you know, and this is all because of the user and the perimeter has changed. You know, and I think how we spend our time innovating is one, having a look at every single one of our customers is talking, doing more with less. Everybody's under budget constraints because we've gone through that hype. Everybody was spending because cyber was, you know, I think, you know, we're probably 8 months to 9 months behind, you know, our compatriots in Europe and in the US. But we also know that South Africa is a training ground and Africa is a training ground for the hackers. What we've seen is a flurry of national governments being hacked. You know, we've seen that, right? And you can understand that because there's a level of competence that exists. So, you know, when you start looking at how we're really trying to help in our managed services space, it's having visibility in the dark web. We know those tools exist, but deliver that as a service. You know, not get the customer to buy into a, you know, we used to do this with you guys back in the day when you worked at Vodacom. Is let's type a five-year, $10 million agreement. Customers aren't doing that anymore. We're now looking at how we're spending our ends, how we're spending our cents. And we're seeing organizations that used to spend 5 years on investment. We're now spending year by year because, A, the threat is changing. So, you know, we have to stay abroad, which means also we challenge our vendors. We have to challenge our vendors because what was relevant last year versus what is relevant today. One of the key things that we're seeing at the moment is AI is of this hype. You know, one of the questions I started asking probably about 3-4 months ago is, out of all of our security vendors, who's actually talking about securing the AI algorithms that effectively are being generated either through open or closed architectures?
Yeah,
nobody was thinking about it. Yeah. Nobody was thinking about it.
Yeah. No, there's a lot to deal with.
Yeah, yeah.
How would you say that MSSPs provide better value than in-house teams? Because I think that's what most CISOs are going to figure out. You know, why would I outsource to an MSSP?
Yeah. So, look, I've had the either fortunate or unfortunate experience, depending how you look at it, of working as part of an in-house team. Now, a lot of the time, there's a fixed technology stack for about maybe a 4 to 5 year period, you know, that you get used to. There's certain feature sets in there. From what is available, you'd use maybe 50-60% of it. And often over that period, that is all that you're focused on. So when there is something that comes forward that disrupts in the cyberspace, your resources that you've now skilled over time in that specific environment have that environmental knowledge on those tool sets. And it's not a quick thing where you can just get involved in a different technology and implement it and understand how everything fits in. I think also, you know, and this is probably a bigger one for me, is when you're part of an in-house team, on a day-to-day, so the BAU tasks, there's always a project that needs to go live. You know, there's some new vulnerability, something that's been compromised. That will always take preference. So that fancy plan that you kicked off, you know, when the year started and everyone arrived from a holiday with a nice, fresh mindset, you know, all of a sudden, items in that roadmap get moved further and further down the line because everything else takes preference. And a key part of some of those items is governance requirements, you know? Mm-hmm. And eventually when you fall under audit, there's those items that come up and now it becomes red flags. So with the MSSP, we sort of stay away from the general BAU stuff unless it's a specific ask. And we follow our roadmap within a custom environment. And that makes sure that we stay abreast of what's happening. It makes sure that, you know, the technical governance and hygiene is in place. And it really does allow the customer to focus on the more pressing issues on a day-to-day basis.
In their own business, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's another aspect to that is one of the things that we know the hacking community, whether virtual or otherwise, rely on is the fact that we're not talking as separate environments. We know that obviously the likes of the financial institutions have SABRIC, right? And that's great, and they all come together and they sing kumbaya. But the rest of the country, I mean, national government don't sit down and talk about how we're going to tackle cybersecurity. There may be certain mandates and people doing some great things, but the challenge is the hackers are dividing and conquering. You know, so one of the things that we've seen, our value proposition is being able to take stories, experiences, and share them amongst our communities, obviously with NDAs in place, we never name names, but we take those examples and we work with other customers to say,
that you're taking
this is what we've seen. This is, have you guys thought about that? And I think, you know, it's the same way I sell today, by the way, you know, is we do not actively pitch technologies. We will use our customers and their experiences to sit with other customers and talk to them about their successes. We still have a lot of egos in IT. Yeah. We know that. And people want to build their castles. Mm. And if you think you can do that effectively by yourself, you're on a hiding to nothing.
Yeah.
And those organizations are the ones that we're seeing in the newspapers at the moment. Those are the reputations where you think that your IT guy has got this. The one thing that we know and we see continuously is there's not enough verification and validation of what the IT guy is doing. So everybody trusts the IT guy because it's an IT problem. And we get that.
Yeah.
What we've also seen, and again, we have to talk about this, is again, our country, unfortunately, is known for corruption. We've seen a lot of things happening in our IT communities, whether government or corporate, where the IT guy has all of this spend, and there's still no verification, validation, or anybody checking what's going on. So we see in those companies, they're spending excessive amounts of money in what they're doing from an IT perspective. Wasteful expenditure. We see them. We go, but you could do that with a third of what you're trying to deploy. But again, that comes back to, you know, again, oversight. Coming back to the board, you know, one of the things we often say, and I don't know how you guys dealt with it back in the day, is we have to trust the individuals we employ. The challenge is that when we look at how we work with customers, there's not enough verification happening with the technologies they've got. So are they actually working? So some of the work that we do is we will actively deploy technology that will show the customer based on what you're trying to measure, what you're trying to manage. This is how it's working. Is it effective?
Mm.
You know, that's a lot of the, you know, you can remember probably some of those conversations. Listen, we've spent 100 million. You know,
what did I get?
How do I know it's working? And then somebody will go, oh, yeah, you know, here's 100 million malware attacks. And you're going, but does that show me that it's working? How do I know that there's no insider threat because the hackers moved, right?
Mm.
So, and that's what we see. So again, that comes back to maturity, comes back to the board. You know, what questions are the board asking? You know, how invested are they in this journey? Because they don't know, right?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. We find ourselves in different
conundrums. Kind of putting my old CIO hat on, it makes a lot of sense in terms of the approach you're taking, but you know, how do you go about tailoring your services specifically for different industries or different clients? Because there's a lot of commonality, but there's also differences between these different industries and different clients.
So I think the differentiators is usually the priority items. And we're happy to work with the commonalities. But the priority on what needs to be delivered is usually from a governance, I mean, even a cyber law perspective, right? South Africa is now kicking things into gear. And depending on what that is, we know there's different regulatory frameworks per industry. So when we get involved with the customer, we consult first, right? So we need to understand where exactly they fall into, what their requirements are. We consult on that, and then we add the commonalities into it. So those offerings are first tailored towards the customer and then towards security.
Mm.
But it's always with the security core at everything that we put forward.
And I guess the important thing is there's a different level of maturity within each client. So you need to first pitch, you know, are they still at a very basic level or an intermediate, or are they literally at the advanced level?
Absolutely. And that's where we say, you know, what are your pressures from your senior management? And, you know, a lot of time they aligned with business and execution and, you know, getting that app out as quick as possible or staying ahead of the competitors.
Mm.
I think the nice thing that we're seeing in some of our more mature organizations where, you know, these guys have taken quite a bit of a journey and they're now working with mature individuals that understand the business. We're finding CISOs are really, truly understanding the business better, which is good. How many more moving parts? But this also introduces another challenge.
Yeah.
How many people we need to bring along on this journey? I mean, you know, when we started out as CISO community probably 8 years ago, you know, there was a very small wheel as to what the CISO or the information risk manager was responsible for. Now, if you look at that, it's 27 jobs in one. You know, all of a sudden privacy in some small organizations become their problem. They're not lawyers. You know, regulations become their problem.
Yeah.
They're not governance professionals. You know, so that's where I think some people are maybe getting it wrong. You can't be everything in this environment as much as you're trying to. So you need to figure out how strong you are in your swim lane and then augment yourself with those third parties that can help you verify, validate, provide the governance. And then most importantly, hold. You know, one of the things when I started 2 years is we have to hold ourselves to account in an engagement as much as I need to hold the customer. You know, typically we were bums on seats and the customer could use and abuse us. And the outcomes, I mean, in some of our clients, we actually couldn't get them to sign SLAs because all they wanted was a person there to tell them what to do. And then you come time to negotiate your contract. Mm. And it's like, oh, but I don't understand the value you've added. And you're like, okay. And then you find yourself in a competitive bid scenario. So we've taken a very different stance is we're leading with outcomes.
Mm.
How are we going to measure each other, Mr. Customer? Because you've got to be accountable. I've got to be accountable. We build that into a contract. We hold each other to account. And ultimately, as long as we're delivering and we're dancing that dance and providing the expertise and involving those engagements, then that becomes a really good engagement because value becomes a different conversation.
100%. Yeah,
by dropping
a
box.
It's not transactional anymore.
Well, we've seen, with the advent of AWS, the advent of Azure, obviously GCP marketplace is getting there. Our customers, and you know, this blows up a topic for me, which is really I'm passionate about, is if you look at our enterprise, you know, we're buying direct from Amazon, we're buying direct from Azure Marketplace, some are even going through GCP. You're cutting out the community that you expect to service you. However, your OEMs, you mentioned this, and the OEMs are happy to take an order direct, right? They think it's great. But what our customers don't realize is that they will still get that price, but they will also get the commitment by going through those platforms. All you have to do is ask for it. But there has to be, and I think this is the challenge, is the pressure of reduction of cost is starting to expose organizations from a skills perspective. And again, I think as a country, if we're going to invest more, we've got to start looking at that model because I think even national government is putting a lot of pressure on those big players like Oracle, Microsoft. We've seen that, right? Because there's this monopoly conversation. But again, let's be honest, it's driven by rands and cents. What we've really cleverly done is we've tied into Azure Marketplace, AWS Marketplace, to make sure that our customers don't pay more. And ultimately, they can actually tap into the skill set that we have and all of those other value propositions. I think the challenge is you need to define value together. You know, like you're asking now, so what is your real value? Well, based on these conversations, there's four things. It's not just the price of the product that you pay. Because right now we have open books. You know, our average margins today with our customers are anywhere between 5 and 11%. Whereas back in the day when you and I were doing business at Vodacom, we were 35% and rolling, right? Yeah. IT was great. And I think customers also not understanding that you're expecting your service provider to provide you the best resources, the best capabilities at 11%. You can't run a business on 11%. Mm. So we're having some very interesting conversations at the moment, but also it's forcing us as a business to bring in the Microsofts, make sure we augment our skills better. And then also when we're sitting with the customer, we're a systems integrator, guys. You know, my vendors don't like that conversation. I'm not using the word agnostic. We don't do that. We have our tier ones. We know where our bread is buttered. But also we have 25 other really, really niche providers who've got our backs and bringing innovation to the table quicker than our heavy Ds can do it. And that's what our customers expect. You know, if we don't stay ahead of that conversation, then we will become, you know, effectively a nuance in 3 to 5 years' time because it is moving so fast.
Yeah. I've got one more point I wanted to raise with you. It's like, you know, as technology is evolving, you know, how do you see the role of the MSSP emerging over the next few years? You know, how is that going to change?
I think we've been on a few journeys as CyberOne Solutions at quite a number of our enterprise customers. And we've had to evolve along the way. You know, and I think this applies to any MSSP. If you don't evolve along the way, at a point in time, you will automatically be irrelevant, right? This journey is not one where all of a sudden there's going to be a stop in the direction that we're heading and then a complete shift left or right and start heading in that direction. Mm-hmm. Right? It's gradual. Environments are complex.
Yeah.
There's no single vendor or single type of workflow that's keeping these businesses running, you know? So different vendors or different technologies will change the approach over time. And with each one of them, you will start to change your approach. And with each one that changes, it still has to be part of a broader architecture. You know. So again, it's just not a press stop here and press start here. Right? How does it integrate? How does it benefit? What gaps does it leave? And how do we fill those gaps now? You know, what's overlapping now that, listen, we can provide or cover multiple gaps with a specific technology? So does that make something else redundant? You know, are we now, is a customer now paying for something that they don't need? Yeah. So it's about progressive growth, progressing on that journey with the customer to make sure that you don't find yourself at one point in time waking up today and saying, oh, there's all these new threats and what we've been servicing protects only 50% of the customer estate.
Yeah. Look, I guess at the end of the day, the technology is evolving rapidly and you need to figure out a way to keep up.
Look, and you know, we're having those conversations now because AI is, you know, Skynet is, it's beautiful. Listen, again, it is a buzzword. And, you know, again, I think when you take a step back and you look at the value proposition that it has to deliver. For me, you know, I'm excited to seeing what we can do with technology in our MSSP space because, you know, we talk about this and it's not about replacing jobs. It's about saying at the end of the day, how can I use the technology to create those mundane tasks? And I know that, you know, the progress of how we teach, especially in our internship programs, we've got to get them starting at one and moving to, you know, to 10, you know, would be great if we could start at 4 and move to 10 quicker because that's what we have to do because technology has evolved. And, you know, we often sit in these conversations at board level and they go, oh, you know, the machines are going to take over. And unfortunately, the machines already have. You know, if we don't think that things are happening at machine speed, they are. It's already done. You know, these hacking attempts that we're seeing, these spear phishing attempts, you know, some of them are targeted because the organization is worth targeting. 90% of them are spent out into the environment looking for somebody to click right. And I think for me and the team and working with Akhil is saying, how do we use that to augment and differentiate? Because if you can do that effectively into a client, I can reduce their costs. I can do the job better. I can detect the attack quicker. I can understand, you spoke about understanding organizations, is if I can understand the heartbeat of the organization from a digital perspective, looking for anomalies is a different conversation.
Yeah.
You know, those are the things that I'm excited about and how we're going to use technologies because, you know, you hear about this all the time is alert fatigue, socks running 24/7. You outsource it for an assurance perspective, but they're not adding. I think one of the analogies I used with a customer the other day is specifically from a security operations center perspective is we don't have the foundation around visibility. And then we bring a sock and we plug that on top. And then you hope it's going to change the engagement.
Yeah,
but you're not changing the foundation that you do not have visibility of what's connecting to your network.
Get the basics right.
Get the basics right. Make sure you're collecting all the information. When you do decide to bring a SOC on board for an assurance perspective and a log and an audit perspective, it's got to have the ability to collect the information effectively. And even then, we're seeing that's now been augmented by technologies. I mean, we're having conversations with customers around AI where you're saying, listen, do you need to buy a SIM anymore? Because if we understand the information we're collecting and the anomalous behavior we're looking for, I can bring in an AI model and it can do it for me. I don't now need to go and, you know, do use cases and build out playbooks. Don't get me wrong, the techies love that. I mean, we see time and time again, our biggest challenge in providing customers with this innovation is a techie in an environment that has built a castle around himself and the customer is so reliant on that individual. Whereas technology is going, hold on. Actually,
can't do that anymore.
100%. I mean, you mentioned, you know, one of the vendors that, you know, effectively have built a really cool platform around that. If you look at how AI is changing, I think the vendors that we see today are not the vendors we're going to see tomorrow because AI is going to change it. And that's a good thing for you and me as the customer, the consumer, and the service provider. So, you know, again, I'm excited about that because also it helps us bring a deeper level of expertise to our customer. Versus this, you know, we do it all and then I've got a junior engineer that's logging into your system and hope to God we find something, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Gentlemen, any last comments, thoughts before we close the session today?
I think, you know, when we spoke about, so on the last question, in terms of how do we see MSSPs evolving, you know, and, you know, come to think of it really, this is the value in utilizing an MSSP that's doing it correctly. Is because you expect us to evolve and we will provide that value. We will do the heavy lifting, right? Companies can have CISOs and CIOs and they'll have a plan. We're just there to complement that so that if there is something that they're not considering at that moment in time, you can just nudge them, bring them up to speed, but at the same time ensuring we can also deliver. So we're also staying up to speed and that's the value for us or for the customers in utilizing an MSSP.
Yeah, and I think for me it's about, you know, augmenting the skills that the customer doesn't have. And I think that's where the consulting comes in, is a lot of the times when you go into customers and especially in some of our national governments, you see organizations there because they came in at the cheapest price. And we've got a lot of Indian organizations in our environments as well, right? Large outsourcers, you know, selling people at the cheapest cost possible. But the skills that you're potentially getting and the measurement, we see that being the biggest lack. So again, I think from our perspective and making sure that we can deliver an outcomes-based strategy, that for me is key. In some of our organizations, we've got a lot of older stalwarts still in those companies. We've got to help them understand that if we move to a service model versus a bums on seats model, we can add better value at a cheaper cost. But the minute that you say, I want that person in that seat, that person costs 100,000 rand. You've got to make at least between 30 and 50% margins in order to cover the costs, provident funds, all these things that people don't think about to attract those skills. And I think that that sometimes is difficult to articulate. But I think the journey that, you know, we're going on with Akhil and the team, and, you know, as an MD of a business and a salesperson at heart and a technologist, I'm so reliant on the skill set so that we can integrate and we can make the solutions work in these environments. I can go and promise the world and I can sit with any vendor, but if these guys can't execute, you know, we're not providing the value proposition.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time. I think it's been a fascinating conversation and let's hope it adds some value to our listeners.
Appreciate it.
Definitely. Thank you very much.
Thank you.